Welcome to the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business practices, ideas, and strategies while we enjoy our coffee break.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
All right, guys, good morning. It is time once again for another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast.
Yes.
I'll let you. Coffee Break Podcast. This is episode number 13.
Lucky 13.
And for Lucky 13 today. Today, we were originally supposed to have Kevin and Levi was going to be joining us today, but Levi is unfortunately sick, so we had to bring in Levi 2.0, the better version of Levi, the improved version of Levi.
The better version.
Had to spend a little extra money this time.
we had to go with the A-lister, not a B-lister.
Yeah. So we brought in Sam. So, Sam, thank you very much for being available at the last minute and being so willing to come in and suffer the conversation between Kevin and myself today.
It's a pleasure.
We're excited. So over the last couple of episodes, if you've missed any of them, the past 12, I guess, episodes, should definitely check it out. We have had some amazing guests. Greg Whitus from Diversified Robotics had an awesome conversation with us about process improvement, and I've gotten so much good feedback on that. So that is episode number 12. If you haven't heard that, you should definitely go back and check that out. The conversation we had with Austin Marvel on marketing, that was an awesome episode as well. So there's been a lot. Excuse me. Plus, we've had a lot of good conversations with our team here. And 2 weeks ago, we were talking about some of our core values, kind of got started down the conversation of core values. I want to continue that conversation today, but get into a couple of new core values and kind of get some feedback on that. In the meantime, I'm also coughing my head off, so hopefully I won't cough in the microphone too much today. But because it is coffee break and the sole kind of purpose behind the coffee break conversation is, and I've talked about this before, but the Coffee Break Podcast got started because of the fact that we're big on coffee in our office, and it is a very frequent event for someone to come in or several folks to come in, make a fresh cup of coffee, espresso, maybe a pour over, and during that time, we have some really intentional conversations about personal development, business strategies, things we need to work on to improve in our business, things that we can do better or different, and also personal development type stuff. And so we said, well, this is really good conversation. Let's share it with other people as well. And that is really the basis of the Coffee Break Podcast, which is what brings us here today. So, Sam, why don't you, what are you drinking over there?
Well, I've got some good whatever beans you have in the grinder.
Some good whatever beans.
Good whatever beans. You know, it's my favorite blend.
My favorite
personally.
Roast.
It's not, what it's not is Lavazza, but that's okay. And then I have.
That's okay.
And then, of course, I have, which this may start a whole conversation, but I have some International Delight Caramel Macchiato Creamer.
So you've ruined your nice.
I defiled the sanctity of the brew, yes.
Yes, of the amazing counterculture.
Which I'm okay with.
I don't even know if I can look in your direction anymore.
That's fine.
Caramel Macchiato.
Hey.
Why don't you just go ahead and brew a K-cup?
Wow.
K-cup. Yeah. So is that coffee for your wife or?
I can make one for her, yes.
Oh, brother.
But this one is for me.
Before we get too far, Kevin, what are you drinking over there today?
I've got this is it's a new coffee that I discovered from Rhino Market called Night Flyer. And it's made here in Charlotte, and this has been pressed. And I've got a little bit of almond creamer in it.
So the almond creamer. Our almond milk is really good, and oat milk obviously has been the thing, which we've been trying to make this oat milk at home.
Yes,
Jessica made a big gallon of it. Or
how was it,
like
by the way?
It was really good. The problem that we've been running into is trying to figure out how to keep it all together.
It tends to separate, and you got like this thick inch and a half layer of sludge at the bottom and some discolored water on top.
And not that I've experienced this, but if you don't have the lid on very good while you're trying to shake it,
it goes everywhere.
It's a really bad mess.
Did you put dates in it?
Yes, she did.
Oh, did that make a difference?
Yes.
Because I know that maple honey oak one I made a few weeks back, it was okay, but I felt like it did need dates.
So how does one sweeten. Actually make oat milk?
Well, squeeze the oats. We've had this conversation before.
You have to get up super early. Like the day that I made it, I got up at like 3 a.m. I put on my muck boots. I went out to the fields of Mount Pleasant.
Yes.
I harvested the wheat, you know. Yes. I separated everything, and then one by one, painstakingly. If you've never tried to milk an oat, it's incredibly hard because they're super small. It wears your fingers out. And after about 2 hours, you got about 6 ounces.
Apologize for asking.
Yes.
Austin said there were millions of oats sacrificed that morning.
Yes.
But
to make a jar of oat milk.
It is a very good alternative to milk. If our dairy products, if you are
and it's delicious
about that.
The dirty chai latte that Enderly makes with the oat milk is phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, it tastes just like an oat milk cookie. That's where I got turned on to it, was there. Mm. And it's super good.
So, other than that, Sam, just as a reintroduction, has been on the podcast a couple of times. I know at least once, maybe more than that. But Sam is our purchasing manager. So, he's been with us for many, many years and seen a lot of transitions in our organization. So I really enjoy having Sam involved in these types of conversations. You know, I know I was joking earlier about Levi, but really Sam brings a lot to the conversation because he's seen a transition in this organization when we were still trying to find our footing and still trying to see how things needed to be improved. And so really that is kind of a big step into the core values conversation. Kevin has been with us just right at a year now, celebrating his first anniversary, and has really been here as those core values and that culture has kind of been solidified or has constantly been in a state of functionality. So you've got a lot of different perspectives to kind of bring to the table, which is really fun and really exciting. Plus, you guys are just fun to talk to, so that's always a good thing. So to kind of dive into that, last episode that we talked about, which was episode 11, we were talking about defined expectations, and that was our first core value. So to set this up a little bit, about 5 weeks ago on our weekly Wednesday morning meeting, I was talking about the fact that I was going to pitch some core values. At that time, it was 7. I think I've added one, so there's 8. But these 8 core values over the next 8 weeks to talk about why I believe that they should be part of our fundamental core values, and then what we can do to basically bring them into our organization. And the big part of it is I was looking, and still am looking, for feedback. Are these accurate? Are these valid? Do they need to be changed? Do they need to be tweaked? Do they need to be removed or added or whatever? So as part of that continual conversation, that is really even what we're kind of diving into that on these types of conversations, is to get feedback on it. So our first one was defined expectations. Second one is consistent communication. And the third is to cultivate trust. And I want to talk about those two today. I really think that they tie into each other, and they really are hand in hand. So let's kind of break that down to begin with. Consistent communication, perspectives, opinions, where does it come from? How do we utilize it?
Go ahead. We'll let age before beauty, since you've been here longer.
I think human communication is incredibly, incredibly important. And I think that's probably, it's why it's one of the first core values you go through, because as a organization, I think communication is really the glue that holds. I mean, if you don't have communication, your core values don't spread to your teammates, you know? And I think that's one thing that sets certain businesses apart from others. You know, you see a lot of small businesses or other organizations where it's every person for themselves. They all do good work. They all have an ultimate end goal, but you know, specifically our Wednesday morning meetings, our conference calls, keep us connected throughout the week, where I've seen other businesses that they may not see each other for 2 weeks. You know, they get their jobs done, they get their projects completed, they call, say they're done, and that's it.
Well, one of the things that you bring to a very valid point is you have to understand the makeup of this organization over years. For a long period of time, we would go an entire week and only see each other on Wednesdays.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that was the only time that I may see Kevin or somebody may see you. And obviously that's changed a little bit as the company has continued to grow and there's a lot more people in place. But even such, it is not uncommon that especially our field service team, our installation team, could just show up here on Wednesday.
Exactly. I mean, I was going to say that kind of happens now. Like there are certain techs I only see on Wednesday. I may only see, and maybe not even then.
Right.
You know, if they're heading to an early morning appointment, you know, there may be weeks where I may not see a couple, you know, one or two guys because they're either, you know, they're always on the road. Because we have a lot going on.
Sure.
Or when they're here at the office, you know, I'm out talking to somebody.
Yes.
You know, so it's and it still happens.
So you're kind of passing each other.
Right. Yeah.
And so how do you keep that consistent communication? I think the kind of the direction that you were talking about is just kind of keep that in mind. It's not like this business, like maybe others, that everybody reports to the same place every day.
Right.
Then you always see each other.
Right.
This is not that type of operation.
Yes.
No, it's definitely not.
So with that said, you mentioned something else, our conference calls. So
yes.
We started that 6-7 years. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Where we just every Monday morning, 7:45, we all jump on a hopefully less than 15-minute call.
Yeah.
And
I've got four things. No, five, maybe six things to remind you about.
I know. I can't believe that Nathan does those types of things. But the we all get on a quick call to just try to the intention of it originally was
yes.
Hey, this is who is here. This is who's not. This is, you know, this is who's on vacation. This is who's here. Yeah. These are the projects that we're working on. These are the places that we're going to be.
And those are fantastic things to know, especially when you're trying to plan a week to get work done.
When you're spread thin, you know, if you've got people, you know, and it's happened to us here frequently that we've got people in multiple states, and it's just that reminder Monday morning before the day gets started, this is what's happening.
Yes.
It's a lot like, I know it was something you had mentioned, like way, 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 way back in the beginning of the year in the middle of basketball season. It's essentially calling a pick.
Yeah.
You know, it's Monday morning. It's, hey, guys, this is kind of what we, you know, and Nathan does it, you know, to an extent to let us kind of know where we are at as a group. And then Luke and Mike also jump in and say, these are the kind of projects, you know, and we bring that to the table and say, oh, by the way, so-and-so is on vacation or this person is sick. You know, we're going to need some help covering here and there. It's exactly like you talked about in a meeting. I mean, I can't remember when it was, but it was a while back.
Yeah.
And it's calling a pick.
Sure.
Well, another thing, too, and I actually
or
heard
audible since it's football season.
Yeah. I heard a podcast here recently talking about different types of meetings, and they were using the analogy of football, and they were saying that you have some huddles that are essentially just like a huddle in football. It's a real quick, hey, this is what we have going on. You do this, you do this, you do this. All right, let's break. And then you have more of a strategy. Maybe it's a timeout, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you have more of the long-term strategy that's like the off-season.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah, practice before the
– we're talking about practice.
Spring workouts.
Yeah. So in that same kind of concept, that's what we're looking for from our Monday morning conference call is just to have a little bit of a quick huddle that says, hey, this is what we have. This is the plan. This is the play.
Right, yeah.
All right, break. Let's go take action.
Yep. The annexation of Puerto Rico. Go.
So one of the things that we continue to talk about with that is from a consistent communication standpoint is providing relevant and information and reminders.
Yes.
Another thing that I heard recently was that somebody in your organization has to be the CRO, the chief reminder officer. Right?
A lot of going on.
And basically they're saying, you know, it takes almost seven times of repeating something for people to really remember it.
Absolutely.
What is the statistic? You have to repeatedly do something for 2 weeks in order to make it a habit. I think they say is about average. Like if you constantly set out to do something for a period of 2 weeks after the two-week period, it becomes
a
habit and you just automatically do it without thinking it. It's kind of the same concept. You have to constantly remind yourself to do something in order to make it a good habit.
So is that the question is that part of consistent communication just being a constant kind of
absolutely.
Reminder?
Yeah, I think that I mean I just think honestly my opinion on especially conference calls and Wednesday morning meetings even you can if left to your own devices you can very easily get in your own mode of working your own way of doing things, your own. I think consistent communication brings you together as a team, reminds you that there are other forces at play. Mm-hmm. What those other forces, you know, I may order parts all day and not realize that this project is more urgent than the other. But
correct.
This communication, this glue that keeps us together, allows me to understand that some projects may be more important because this has to be done on a different date, or this is a higher priority.
Yes.
Let me throw another question out there on as it relates to communication. And this is a true, honest, transparent question. In defining communication, because it can be, that's a very broad brush.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take that to a tactical sense and say, this is what we believe is good and effective communication versus just talking?
Sure. Well, I think you've already done it with the comm notes in TrackVia, you know, where it's a pinpointed, you know, if I need to communicate, like, to Sam's point, you know, he may have two orders for a lock set, same exact lock set, same exact finish.
Mm-hmm.
One's a security issue, one is not, you know, until you break it down in a granular level and say, hey, this one, they don't have a timetable, it's when we get to it. This guy is a security issue. It has to be handled ASAP. You know, I think that's pinpointed communication, which we have achieved through the comm notes that you've built into TrackVia, where I can go
in. Lucas built that.
Lucas. Our app developer has done a phenomenal job. Or actually, I think he prefers to be called an IT guy.
Yeah, I think that's his preferred title.
IT guy. Anywho, you know, so I can go in there and I can, you know, look at the jobs, mm-hmm. you know, and specifically communicate to whomever's assigned to it, to ordering, to accounting, hey, this is a very specific issue. I need you to handle it in this specific manner.
I think that just to add to Kevin's point, I agree that comm notes was a huge help. I think one of the biggest things is,
first of all, just to interrupt you, I didn't know that we had abbreviated it down to comm notes.
That's very millennial of you.
Yeah, anyway.
Yes, it is. So communication notes.
Thank you.
I think it's very key because I think one part of communication, especially when you're talking about keeping communication relevant and efficient, is everyone using the same form of communication, everyone having the same expectations about that communication. One thing communication does is it requires specific information. It requires it to be relevant to a specific site visit, and it asks you what you expect to be done. Is it a to-do for someone to do? Is it a task? Is it, or is it just a reminder? Oh, excuse me. Is it just a reminder?
Yeah. And then what is it connected to? What kind of communication note is it? Is it relevant to scheduling, ordering, sales, accounting, whatever?
But ultimately, you could take it back to core value number one, a defined expectation. You know?
Absolutely.
Proper communication should set the stage for a defined expectation. This is what I need. This is why I need it. This is how I need it. And this is when I need it.
Yes.
I've clearly set everything out in motion. I've communicated, you know, with some value, and I have set an expectation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I really think even the order of the way you're doing these values is really cool, because you have to have defined expectations in order to develop communication. But then you actually have to communicate those expectations consistently. Yes. So the order of that is actually very relevant, you know, to establishing those core values.
So with that said, that backtracking, I think you guys bring very relevant points. Consistency in communication requires defining the expectations prior to.
Correct.
History. Comm notes prior to the version that they are now was just a free-form field in our system that you could write whatever you wanted.
Yes.
You could say the wall is blue and the sky is yellow and whatever you wanted to. Relevant or not, it could be there. Once what we learn from that is that each person in our organization and every person that we've ever had any kind of connection with had a different perspective on what was relevant.
Yes.
And so we had to go back and define what the communication looked like so that we could have the accurate information, not just consistent, but it provided consistency along the way, but the accuracy of the information. So we're doing that in a couple of different ways, I think, that are really fun from a perspective of gaining good traction. One is our purchase or our parts ordering where we went in and said, what do I need? I need a lock. I need a camera. Right. I need a door, whatever.
Yes.
Okay, now that you need that, what kind of door do you need? Do you need a wood door? Do you need a metal door?
Yeah.
And we're asking the right – we're trying to – let me – that in there, trying to ask the appropriate questions based off of the previous answer, so that defines out what that information needs to look like, being consistent with that. So I think you have consistent, again, that's why I say communication can be a broad brush. It's the consistency of that we're talking on a regular basis, you know, in regular intervals with specific itineraries or agendas or whatever.
Right.
But at the same point, getting the most accurate and relevant information rather than just talking, you know?
Yes.
Because a lot of times people just tune that out. And we've struggled with that.
Yeah.
Many, many times, and probably still do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the consistency comes in for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which also builds trust.
Mm. Which brings us on to our next point.
See how I did that? A nice little segue there. Yes.
So let me ask you this, going back to the consistent communication, repeating things, distractions, can you over communicate something where it's become, do people hate over communication? Can it become
numbing? I think
numbing?
That's a subjective thing, because I think you could ask some people and they would say, nah, you can never communicate too much. And then you have people like me and I can say, absolutely, you can communicate too much.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the communication needs to be had. And you need to make sure you're conveying your message and your notes, especially when you're trying to accomplish, you know, a goal or get work done. But then I think at some point you could easily reach a level of frustration where it's like, all right, just stop talking to me. Let me get it done.
Yeah.
You know, give me 5 minutes to try to get something worked out.
Right.
And I'll get back to you. And I think you got to kind of – there's a fine line there and
exactly.
You flirt it.
And that's the thing. I think that's a tough question because – to over communicate versus under is probably a better problem to have. It can be a distraction.
Absolutely.
It can be frustrating, but I think I would rather tackle that than, you know, get everyone communicating and then work on the over communicating.
It's better to have it. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good cliche there.
Yes. Slide that in. No, but I think that's very accurate. You know, we've talked about building communication in this organization for a long period of time. And one of the factors of that is a kind of a side benefit, and it really plays into the expectations as well as communication, is eliminating assumption.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we used to have a tagline that we showed every Wednesday morning for like 2.5 years, but it was eliminate assumption, set expectations.
Sure.
Because, or
you know,
set assume
when
nothing.
You assume.
Yeah. Yeah, so you assume nothing, set expectations, because we were having a constant conversation around this office, or around our organization of, oh, I mean, I assumed you knew that. I assumed that you knew that finish, or I assumed that you knew that it needed to be done by Thursday.
It got to be the point where we had to start saying, well, I inferred such.
I inferred.
Yeah, we went through a period of finding alternatives
avoiding
to assumptions.
The word assume.
But I will tell you this, Sam, and I think it is very interesting. And I could be living in a little form of reality distortion here, but I think that it's taken time, but I think that is less of a conversation than it was. I mean, it was literally every other conversation was, well, I assumed.
Right.
And
unfortunately, I fell in that category a lot when I first started, because I would just randomly, you know, put things in and not be very detailed. And it's been a learning curve, and it's something I've definitely worked on a lot. But I remember, like, when I first started, I mean, I would get questions every 20 minutes. Why did you do this? Mm-hmm. Why did you do this? Well, I assumed that you knew what I was talking about. No.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
So the culture corrected it very
correct,
quickly.
Correct, yeah, absolutely.
So
what?
So moving on to the trust part of it. So consistent communication, aligning with defined expectations, can start to build trust.
Yes.
To cultivate trust.
Yes.
So, again, going back, you know, 8 months ago, I believe, somewhere in this calendar year, conversation on Wednesday morning, I got into building trust.
Yes. Yep.
And the lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a lack of trust issue, and what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And trust is a key, is a trigger word for me in a lot of senses, in all transparency. because I feel like if you say, hey, I don't trust you, that's a big jab.
Absolutely.
You know?
True. It hurts.
It hurts bad. Like, hurts. I've lost trust in you.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to figure out is, what do we do to cultivate that if you do lose it at some point in time? Because, you know, I've relied on you to do something, or you told me that you were going to do something, but you didn't multiple times. And so that trust has been broken down now, because that happens. That's not an abnormal thing. What do we do to fix it?
Consistency.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing. That's literally, in my opinion, that's the only thing that you can do to rebuild someone's trust is it takes time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I heard, I was watching an interview. I'm not sure who the guy was. I'm not sure when it was, because somebody else had reposted it on Facebook. But he had made a point, and I think it definitely applies here. Like, with a lot of things that are going on in today, mm-hmm. you know, is you see yourself, you see where you're at, and then way up high up here somewhere is where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And these are your goals, right. You know. And this is, again, very general. But he said what a lot of people have a problem with is they see where you're at, they see where you want to be, but they don't see the mountain in between. Mm-hmm. They don't see the hard work that it takes. And mm-hmm. I think the same thing applies to trust.
Right.
Is, you know, we have the customer up here,
yep.
and we're down here. And we want to be up there, and we want them to trust us. But it's a long process, and right. especially when you start getting into this thing where you're constantly letting people down.
Mm-hmm.
You're not following up on things. You're not doing what you say you're going to do. And that trust is broken. It takes time. It takes yes. consistency of constantly meeting and exceeding expectations to get that trust back.
That's good, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll
coffee is good. I mean, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's the rose water.
And bergamot.
Yeah, bergamot. Excuse me. So I think what's interesting about trust. Trust is honestly, if you really think about it, and I say this from experience, you get very frustrated when people don't trust you, but it's a natural thing. It's not something that someone just does, you know.
Yeah.
I don't just randomly trust someone. I've seen them over time meet my set expectations and meet them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something a lot of times when people don't trust us, we put the onus on them and ask for, which I think it's important to be willing to trust someone, but really you have to continue to, like you say, have patience, be consistent, be patient with them, because you're the one who broke their trust, whether
right.
whether meaning to or not. They can't just randomly trust you, so you have to build that, you know, and then eventually, in the same manner, they won't have a choice but to trust you if you're consistently meeting their expectations.
No,
exactly.
One of the things that I've seen in this organization and just as a whole from a trust perspective is once it's broken and then someone goes, okay, understood, fair enough, you know, I let you down, let's work on rebuilding it.
Yes.
And it's like you were talking about from that mountain perspective, you're kind of hiking up that mountain. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're 50, 60% up.
You fall off.
And you fall off.
Yeah.
And you start back at zero,
yep.
you know? And so it can be very discouraging when you're the person trying to build trust that I'd made so much progress and now I lost it.
Sure.
Why do I even start again?
Well, but see, I think that's more of a factor of mentality and culture. And it kind of was also the tail end of what this guy was saying is we live in an instantaneous society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about it before the podcast. You could order something on Amazon and it's going to be here in hours. You know, there is this lack of patience and just everybody is so hyped up with anticipation.
Yes.
Because everything is just, I mean, literally the world is at my fingertips.
Right.
And it didn't used to be that way. And I think what you're talking about is if you fall off that mountain, why even bother getting started again? I think it's a culture thing. You know, I think you have to train yourself and you have to get in this mindset and develop a culture that, you know, these things don't happen overnight. It is
right,
a long,
right.
painful, arduous process, you know. And I mean, you could like talk to Zach, you know. We've got some really great clients that he had to really work mm-hmm. his tail off.
Yes.
You know, and he started with breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
and now they're just like, hey, you know what? That's great. I don't care what I need. I know that you're going to do a great job. Please do it for me.
That's sure. very interesting. You bring that up because, you know, we talk about trust and cultivating trust inside of our organization a lot of times, and I fail to see that part of it, what you were just talking about. Building a trust relationship
right.
with a customer oftentimes is very, very, very difficult.
Yes.
And it
yes.
is a long road. And a lot of people are very short-sighted because you get, and we talked about this before, Levi does a really good job talking about this from a
yep.
transactional standpoint versus a relational
yeah.
standpoint. So if you're just transactionary and all you're doing is looking
yes.
to close a sale, get a sale, move on, then it's a whole different conversation than if you're trying to build rapport, long-term, sustainable
That's
relationships
the thing
with
is,
people.
Right. It's the long-term. You know, and it's especially hard when you have, you know, when you're talking to people and they've been doing things with for eons.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time. Or they've got a particular company that they are very, very fond of and they've had a great relationship with.
Yep.
It is super hard to break those habits.
Right.
You know, and it just doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a long time of building trust, constant communication.
Yeah, and I'll say this, especially with customers, is I think one of the biggest things, and again, we say it's very frustrating when you break someone's trust, especially when you've worked for a long time to build it, climbing that mountain, and then you fall back down and down to zero. I think the biggest thing there is being honest, being transparent, because it's a lot easier to trust that way. Hey, I know I broke your trust here. I see where my mistakes were made, but
open community. I mean, that's
exactly,
it's open
like,
communication.
Like, you know, a lot of times it rips that relationship apart. But if you're honest and transparent, I do realize I made a mistake. I do realize you don't trust me right there. And I understand why you don't. Now I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to work to build that back up.
See,
again.
And that's the important, that's an important component
sure.
of it because, you know, as we're talking about the mountain, if you fall off, I guarantee you there is a base camp full of people waiting for you to fall off because
yes.
the minute you come down, they're going to try to go up.
Yep.
And if you at least have that open and honest communication with someone to say, hey,
yeah.
look, I messed up. You know, I understand that we let you down.
Sure.
We didn't meet your – but please give me an opportunity to fix it.
Right.
And make it up.
And I think that's the most important part because they're, you know, they're human too. There's areas in their life when they've done the exact same thing. And just to be honest and not make excuses. It's very easy to make excuses and pretend like they should still trust you.
Right.
But to be honest and open and say, I get it. I apologize. I made a mistake. I'm fixing it.
Yeah.
It may not build their trust up overnight, but
no,
it at least
not.
Keeps that relationship together and they can understand where you're at. Cause you know, everyone's been through that.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely.
Most definitely. So what I think you'll see is over time, you're going to continue to see with our core values. They're going to hopefully start building on each other.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Defined expectations, the consistency in communication, and then cultivating trust on top of that. We'll get into the other ones down the line,
yeah.
but they all hopefully build on each other
and
kind of come to a really solid foundation
a
for
thrilling
what we're
conclusion.
So I did have a question. There came a question on our Facebook Live.
Sure.
Lars Johnston from Calgary, in Canada.
Canada.
I make fun all the time. He's got like 17 businesses up there, so I don't know what business to refer to him as.
Sure.
But where they have schedules and decals.
Huh. And poutine.
I think that's a Montreal thing.
Oh, is it only Montreal?
Yeah, he gets real.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But anyway,
no offense.
Trigger.
No offense.
don't
trigger.
Don't get him triggered. His question is basically, how are you communicating differently in different groups where introverts are dominant? Like in our industry, that's a very common thing to have introverted type people.
Mm-hmm.
In our organization, we're a really good split of that, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But one of the things to kind of start off of that conversation. So I guess the question: what's your opinion on that? How do you communicate differently with essentially different personality types?
You need to, I guess. Let me speak on it from because I think there's Sam and I bring two very different forms of communication.
Mm.
You know, typically it's there's us and then there's the customer.
Sure.
And Sam's over here and I'm in the middle.
Yes.
You know, so I'm having to communicate kind of both ways, whereas Sam is more or less communicating with me, mm-hmm. and we're going back and forth, and then I'm obviously relaying this information on to its final destination. But I guess you need to, from my perspective, is you just gotta relate. I mean, you know, I don't want to say we're all the same, but you know, you put your pants on one leg at a time. You know, everybody's got that in common. You know, so you gotta try. I mean,
another cliche.
I told you I had top shelf. Yeah, I came top prepared. Shelf.
You don't jump into your pants?
No. You know, so I think it's just being relatable. You know, everybody can find some form of common ground. I guarantee it. You talk to somebody for 5 minutes, you will find at least one thing that both of you share in common. Even if you're complete polar opposites, you will find one thing that you can agree on.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times, so on one end of the scale, you have people who use primarily written communication. They work a lot better with it. You have on the other end people who love to make phone calls and meet face to face. I think both are very important. Both are, you know, both are integral. I think the biggest thing is if you are, you know, an extrovert, if you like to talk, if you like to meet face to face, just understand that other people may communicate a different way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in the same form, introverts a lot of times don't want to make that phone call. They don't want to have that sit down meeting, but sometimes that's necessary in order to relate to that person and to really communicate. So communication is not about you just relaying the information. It's about the other person
receiving it.
Yeah, it's
about listening.
So,
yeah.
So I think it's both parties have to be open. You know, both parts of the team have to understand who they're communicating to. You know, in this specific situation, I just screwed everything up. I probably should call someone and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on instead of just an email, because, you know, sometimes it requires a more personal conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that it really doesn't come down to an introvert versus extrovert type of conversation either, because there's different personality types that are past the introvert and extrovert part that receive and communicate differently.
Yep.
One of the things that I've the three pillars that I've always kind of built on when I think that we're communicating well, and I don't say that we do this all the time, but when we do it well, it's written, verbal, and visual.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is it is in textual form written out that someone can read it and understand it with clear expectation. It's verbalized in a clear and concise manner, and it's visualized if it's a video or a graphic or a picture, some type of a pictorial representation of that event.
Yes.
So take in consideration this past Wednesday morning we were talking about our Christmas party. That's a big thing that we're coming up with. Verbally, we've communicated it multiple times. You were handed a written piece of paper or a printed piece of paper, and it was also a picture of it and a video of it with over the last couple of weeks of what is going to be coming up.
Right.
Yes.
Trying to hit on all those levels, because understanding that Sam prefers written communication, and I could talk for 2.5 hours and give him all the information, and he would say, I don't know what you just said. Kevin is more maybe a verbal communicator.
Yeah, I would say I'm more verbal, I would think.
And then you have some people that can draw conclusions based off of the pictorial.
Yeah. And in that, like, I can – me being more written, I have the tendency to believe everyone is like that, you know, because it's easy for me to understand that. But to send Kevin an email every time I need something is not – really communicating, because that's just
I would just prefer you call me.
Yeah,
communication is really more about the other end.
Just
than,
tell me what you need.
So I have to understand that, and I have to take that leap and make sure that Kevin is receiving. That's what communicating is making sure that he understands what's going on
at the same time.
And
when I
think that speaks to the whole over communicating thing, because one person may be annoyed because they just got a text, a video, and a phone call about this one thing, but at least
facts,
you know, one, you
page.
Know what's going on because some form spoke to you in some manner.
And I think that's where you, if you're communicating well and effectively, I think that's how you can do it. And I think we've had some winning examples of that in the past. And then each person can kind of take their own perspective of it. the if you always try to force everybody down one certain path, then you're going to lose people one way or another. So right. over communicating is spreading it across all that. We try to do that with our marketing as well.
Right.
You know, if we're doing it well, then this podcast is also has some type of written explanation alongside of it and a video form.
Yeah.
And then the verbal.
Yep.
So that you're getting all of that information in whatever form that you want that to come to you versus being forced down one specific path. And I think that's where you can become effective at it in the same sense, being understanding the recipient, because like you just said, you prefer someone to send you a long email with detailed bullet pointed explanations. Yes. If I see that, I'm like, if it's more than one sentence, I'm bored to death.
Yeah, you're tuned out.
Trash.
But Kevin and I could call each other and talk on the phone for a half an hour and get more.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, that's just how we communicate. So it's just understanding that. So I think it's a really valid question. I don't know. Did we get any more questions?
No, Laura's just said broccoli. So is the question about broccoli? Well, see, broccoli, it kind of grows low to the ground.
Yep.
And you got to kind of cut it and harvest it at a certain time.
There's a whole backstory behind broccoli. It refers to some type of a taco truck or something like that. Anyway, all right. I think we have
it is Tuesday.
Well, we have well exceeded our allotment of time for today.
Certainly,
really appreciate you guys being here, and the conversation is very valuable. So now it's what we do with it. How do we take that back into our business and utilize the consistent communication to build and cultivate trust?
Yep.
And see the results of that and understand that it's not something that we start today and that we see results tomorrow, that
right.
we're looking for a long-term sustainable action plan for
yes.
this. Cool. Well, we appreciate it. We'll be back next Tuesday with our 14th episode of the Coffee Break Podcast. And thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thank you.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes. And it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
Coffee Break is brought to you by LockDock Security. Connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. For more information, just like you heard today.